This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Thank you very much for your time today.
Yes, thank you.
I was wondering if you could start off today by telling us a little bit about where you started off. We're going to talk about your latest work, but I think if you set the scene for yourself in your past and your childhood, really helps people to appreciate what you've achieved.
Well, I was born with my foot and hand turned in, so I guess I was, challenged at that time. And then I had to wear braces, so at age four I got out of those, and I was so desiring to be free. I think I've been a free spirit ever since. And then in first grade, I was told that I was, I had learning difficulties and disabilities and dyslexia, and I would never be able to read, write, or communicate, never amount to thing, never go very far in life. And so I definitely had challenges in reading and comprehending and speaking and speech problems. And so I ended up dropping out of school by the time I was a young teenager. And as a result of that, I ended up going surfing. I wanted to be a surfer because I was pretty good in sports by then once my foot straightened out. And ended up moving to California, hitchhiking to California, and then eventually to ride big waves in Hawaii. And then I almost died of strychnine poisoning there. I ended up getting sick, really sick. And as a result of that, I ended up meeting a teacher one night who is part of my recovery that transformed my life and inspired me to want to do what I'm doing today, which is travel and teach. So that's, in a nutshell, that's a brief synopsis of some of the challenges that I faced.
In the past 40 years, you've studied about 260 different disciplines, including psychology, cosmology, economics, theology, sociology, biology. You've also written a bucket of books, about 40 books now in 14 languages, released about 50 CDs and DVDs, and you've run 72 courses. The longest one goes for 21 years, I believe.
Well, I've got a whole bunch of courses. You just put out a mouthful there. I've actually studied 276 disciplines now, and I've written 266 books, 40 of which are on the market. Many of them are manuscripts for seminars and programs that are large manuscripts. I've definitely studied many different disciplines. I love writing on them. I just, anything to maximize human awareness and potential in any different discipline in any field, I love studying. So I've done that, and then I do have courses. There's 72 courses, one of which is a correspondence course that's the 21-year one that it took me 15 years just to type.
How do you find melding all those different disciplines together into one belief system?
Well, that was my dream. I wanted to study the laws of the universe and find out, what was the great teachings, the perennial wisdom. And so I read every day. I do a minimum of 3 hours a day, and some days up to 18, 20 hours a day. So I'm constantly learning. I love learning. I love sharing. And I just integrate it. I really believe that there are certain laws that are laws, and when you kind of figure them out, regardless of what discipline you study, they all lead to those same laws.
Now, my first encounter with you was with the breakthrough experience. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Well, I've been blessed for over 20 years now. I've been gifted to go and teach a program called the Breakthrough Experience. It's my signature program. I've gotten to share it in, I think, 56 countries, and thousands of people have gone to it. And basically what I do in that program is do everything I can in the weekend to help people break through whatever is in the way of their dreams so they can live the life that they desire. I mean, people deserve to live magnificent, inspired lives, and I do what I can that weekend to do it. And what I do is I teach them methodologies and principles that can help them reduce stress and dissolve emotional baggage and get clear about what their mission is and how they want to go and live it. So it's basically two intensive days dedicated to helping people in a workshop manner just break through whatever's in the way.
Talking about the breakthrough experience, I was watching a clip about it, and you say that your imagination and your memory are a lie.
Yeah, what I did is I remember studying William James, the son of Henry James, who is the father of modern psychology, and he said that within every memory is a little imagination, and within every imagination is a little memory. And Scientific American just did an article this last month on that very topic, and it showed very clearly that we tweak it, we distort it, we alter it over time, and our memory is definitely being tweaked constantly, and our imagination is built out of the memories, so there's a ongoing filtering, kind of a selective information that goes in and out of them. And I found that when we actually go back and balance out the equation by asking a different set of questions, we reveal that we pretty well have distorted almost every memory we have. And when we don't distort it, we feel present. We don't even have the perception of time. It's like relive now. So, yeah, I make the statement that memory and imagination are distortions, and they're basically not the truth. When we're actually in the truth, we feel gratitude and love, and we feel really present. So in my Breakthrough Experience program, I assist people in experiencing what that's like so they know the difference.
So what would be some of the side effects of distorting our memories?
Well, we have emotional baggage. What I found is that any time we have a memory that we perceive that we were supported more than challenged, that we have as a fantasy or an infatuation or a high moment, or any moment that we have that's a low moment, resentment or challenge, more than, the negatives more than the positive. Anytime we have an imbalanced emotional state, we store that as a memory and give our mind the opportunity to go back and relive that in a balanced way. So we accumulate emotional baggage whenever we have an imbalanced perspective. We're only set free when we have a balanced mind. So anytime we have infatuations or resentments, our mind is embondaged and literally baggaged by them, and we're stored that way, and we're storing it for a purpose to make sure we go back and look at it until it's balanced and feeling thankful again, and then we move through it. So that's the secret. It's our mind is storing things to help us grow, to make sure we don't leave anything unloved.
And you've talked about the seven primary fears that immobilize people from actually doing things like this. Can you talk me through them?
Well, the seven primary fears, the first one is the fear of breaking the morals and ethics of some spiritual authority. And that's a lot of people are sitting there, trying to live by their lives by somebody else's expectations, fantasies that other people are supposed to be saying they're supposed to live by. And, so I always say that you have to be set free to be your true self. And people live in a fear of not being considered good or right or this and that by some spiritual authority. The second fear is the fear that we're not intelligent enough, degreed enough, smart enough, or have the positives enough, the intelligence enough to do things. The next one is the fear of failure in business or in making money. The next one is the fear of loss of money or not making money. The next one is the fear of losing loved ones or the people that are in the family that we respect. And the next one is the fear of rejection in people in society. And the last one is ill health, death, or disease, or feeling that we don't have the looks or the vitality. Those fears can literally cloud our brain and make us distort what we're capable of doing and actually make us lie to ourselves, saying, we can't do things. And then the Breakthrough Experience, I help people break through those fears so they can get on with doing what they're really here to do.
I wanted to talk to you about the global financial crisis at the moment. Is it all doom and gloom?
Oh, I don't think it is. I think there's never a crisis without a blessing. I really believe that there's a lot of benefits going on right now. I mean, right now, any downsizing is making and birthing entrepreneurs that will grow rapid little companies based on what they're really inspired by doing instead of just taking a job and keeping secure. So this will force them to go out and innovate and fill in new niches in the marketplace and generate new ideas of creativity and genuineness and innovation. So I think that's great, and I think it'll make people save their money more effectively in the future, and I think it'll make them think twice before they just go and spend, and I think there's a lot of gains, a lot of trimming of the fat and making sure that we're down to the prime activities.
Do you think people also appreciate more of what they have?
I think they'll appreciate what they have, and I think that in the process of doing it, they're gonna live wisely. I think a lot more wisely. I think we've been foolish, and we've been needing a good kick in the butt.
I watched another interesting clip from you on YouTube as well, explaining that we spend money according to our values.
Yeah, what happens is every human being has a set of priorities or values, things that are most important to least important, and whatever's highest on their value is what they tend to spend their money on. Things that are lower on their values, they run out of money for. So the hierarchy of their values will determine their financial destiny. And if they don't have a value on saving money or building wealth or building a great business that serves people, the probability of financial independence is really low, unless they marry somebody that has those values. So it's very important to realize that you have to value you and you have to value money truly if you want to have money stay with you, because otherwise you'll just spend it because you'll tend to put the money onto things that are more important to you. And if you have more value on buying things and saving, then you'll automatically spend your money.
So if I value having a nice wardrobe, it doesn't matter if I get a pay rise. Most likely, I'm probably just going to spend more money on clothes.
Well, what happens is if you have a high value on, say, nice clothes, social events, etc., if you double your income, you just go to nicer clothes and more expensive clothes and bigger social events.
And then I'm sitting there wondering why I'm not saving any money still, and that's the
reason. That's right. So that's the key. That's why the first thing we do, and one of the things in Breakthrough, the Breakthrough Experience, is we identify what those values are, and we make sure that we are aligning goals to match them, because if you don't, you just bang your head against the wall wondering why you're not getting what you say you want.
Speaking about what you want, the documentary The Secret, which you appeared in, basically says if you focus on what you want, you'll be able to manifest it. I've had some people come to me and say, well, what if I don't know what I want?
Well, deep inside, everybody knows inside, but they let the seven fears cloud the clarity of it, and then they lie to themselves. I've not, in the Breakthrough Experience program, almost every week I do that program, and almost every week people try to lie to me and say, well, I don't know what I want, and I kind of slap them around. I said, listen, buddy, you do know. Let's get down to the truth. And what we find is that they have the fear of failing at it. They fear they're going to lose money. They feel they're not smart enough. They feel they're going to get rejected if they do it. So they let the fears cloud what they know inside. And every time once I break those fears, out comes what they know. So it's inside everyone. I'm certain about that. They have inside what they want to do in life, and they just don't know how to get past their fears. That's what my job is, to dissolve that.
Could you explain a little to me about the gratitude effect?
Well, the gratitude effect is that, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody, would you agree if people are grateful for you, have a better relationship?
Oh, for sure.
If you're in a relationship in business and you have customers and you're appreciative of the customer and your staff, you have a bigger business?
I'd say so.
And if you're in a social setting and you go out and meet people, and if you're thankful for meeting them and what they stand for, better social life. Your health is automatically improved by gratitude and love. And, you know, so in spiritually, if you're grateful, well, that's considered heaven by some. So I think in all areas of our life, gratitude has an impact on our life. And I believe that once we do that, we impact the other people to do the same, and we create a gratitude ripple effect.
You travel around the world 365 days a year, which is a massive commitment. What inspires you to keep doing this work?
You know, I don't think it was a commitment. I couldn't think of anything I'd rather be doing. I love doing it. It's not something I have to work at doing. It's something I can't wait to get up in the morning to do. I mean, I've been doing it 36 years. I've been on the boat traveling and speaking and doing what I can. So I don't know. I just love doing it.
Now, there's a lot of changes going on in the world, and it seems that the world is changing at a faster and faster rate. Where do you see the world in 10 years' time?
Well, I think that what it's going to do is the technology is going to advance. As you've seen in the last 10 years, it's done extraordinary advancement. It's going to continue doing that. We're going to keep technologically advancing. We're going to keep learning about how to interact with our environment more effectively. We're going to basically, you know, we're learning from what we've done. Every time we go to a new level, we learn new lessons, and we have to refine, and humans are going to keep doing that. And I think that, you know, the economics are going to grow, the population is going to keep growing, our technology is going to keep growing. We're human beings. We're going to keep evolving.
You're coming to Australia soon to present a seminar called To Have One Hell of a Recession and Still Make a Profit. What are you going to cover in that seminar?
Ooh, I look forward to that. I'm going to basically give them some tools on how to discover the wealth they already have and how to access the forms of wealth making that they are capable of doing. I'm going to give them tools on how to break through the limitations that they've had financially. I'm going to make sure to basically show them what opportunities are around and what they can take advantage of and how to fill in the niches that they want. So there's a whole lot of great opportunities I'm going to be sharing. And I'm going to give them tools on how to basically identify the values and how to raise the value of money in their life so they increase the probability of seeing opportunities, acting on opportunities, and taking advantage of opportunities and saving their money and investing it.
Sounds exciting and exactly what we need right at this time, where I think a lot of people are getting affected by the doom and gloom of the global financial crisis.
Well, you know, but that's only because somebody's targeting that one side. I assure you there's two sides to it, and it's just a matter of getting both sides in motion. I think it's just the quality of our life is based on the quality of the questions we ask. If we ask amazing questions, we get an amazing life. We just got to ask a different set of questions. And one of the questions we want to ask is, what's the opportunity? What's the gain? What's the blessing right now? If we ask those other sides, we find it, and our life shifts.
I believe your main residence is actually on a boat, but I have heard you actually have residence in Australia.
Yes, I've got some homes in the Queensland. I've got the ship. I've got a place in Houston. We used to have a place in New York. We've had a bunch of homes, but I'll be at my home visiting in the Queensland one here in a few weeks.
Do you get much chance to come down to Australia?
I'm there, let's see, up until this year, I've been averaging 4 to 5 times a year, and this year I'll probably be down there at least 3, and it looks like 4 possibly. And, I'm down there at least 3 or 4 times a year, sometimes 5.
Dr. John DeMartini, thank you very much for your time today. You'll be in Melbourne presenting your seminar on Tuesday, the 28th of April, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at the Sofitel on Collins.
Yes, thank you, and if they'd like to contact us, they can just go to johndemartini.com there in Australia. That way they can find out what we're doing.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.